tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Rob continues our series, The Second Mile.
One of the greatest inventions in the history of the world is the comfy chair. How many of you have a comfy chair at your house? That's a lot of you. If you don't have one, I'm going to pray for you because this is America. We have first world problems. We should all have a comfy chair to relax in. I have a comfy chair at my house, and it's just known as my chair. And this is not it, but my chair at home, it's this magical chair that even if I'm not tired, when I go and I sit down in this chair, I start to fall asleep. It's this amazing thing. And normally when we start off at Next Level, if you're a regular here, you know that we stand to our feet to read the text. But this is such a comfy chair that we're actually going to stay seated today. And don't judge me. You don't know me. I stood last week. I stood for the whole sermon last week. You got to sit down while I preach. So I'm just going to relax. And we're going to honor the text from our seat today. And we're going to read it from the screen together, real comfortable like. This is Acts 8, verse 1. Read it with me. It says, "On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria." Whew, that scripture sounds intense. I'm glad I'm in a comfy chair. I can relax a little bit. Let's just pray. Would you guys pray with me? God, we come before you right now, and we just ask that you would remove the distractions from this room. We ask you to remove the distractions from our own minds. So often, the difficulties of our life cause us to miss out on what you want us to hear in the moment. And so we just ask that you would speak in this moment, and you'd be louder than the other voices in our life. But God, it's not just about having you speak. It's about obeying what you tell us to do. So we ask you to give us the courage to obey you, no matter how tough it is. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the comfy chair, it's amazing. In fact, I feel like I'm missing something. I think I need some comfy chair music to really help this out. Can I have some comfy chair music? Is that possible? Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's good. Sounds like Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses, but it's a lullaby. I could go to sleep. This is nice. The comfy chair is amazing. Comfy chairs, I think everyone should have one. The great actor Robert De Niro had this to say about comfortable chairs. He said, "If it's the right chair, it doesn't take too long to get comfortable in." Isn't that true? If you're taking notes, you can write that down. That's a really good quote. Feel free to tweet that or Facebook it. Isn't that, though, the goal of our lives, to get comfortable? Don't we have this mindset that we want to work a job just so that we can get to a place of comfort, that I want to work until I can get comfortable and retire? I want to make enough money so that I can retire comfortably. I just want to make enough money so I can be comfortable. There's something inside all human beings. It's something that God has actually given us. It's this comfort zone. The comfort zone is our body's way of resisting stress and resisting anxiety and going to a safe place to get away. And we all have it. I like to think of it as our body's comfy chair, that if you've had a stressful day, you just want to go and you want to relax. You want to kind of get away, and naturally your body has this comfort zone area, that there's something inside of your mind that when you start to feel stress and anxiety, you say, "Yeah, I don't like that. Let me get back to what is comfortable." Brené Brown is a professor in Texas, and she says this is what the comfort zone is. The comfort zone is where our uncertainty, scarcity, and vulnerability are minimized. It's where we believe we'll have access to enough love, food, talent, time, admiration, where we feel we have some control. The comfort zone is a place that we go because it's a place where we feel like we have some control. Our world often spins in a way where we don't feel like we can control it, and so we just want to get to the comfy chair. We just want to get to a place that's comfortable. And so this is what we do in our jobs, and this is what we do with our families, and this is what we do with our friends, and this is what we do in our life. That we get, when life gets hard, we go and we seek out what is comfortable. And I don't think you should put down the comfy chair. This is what God has given us to get away. Sometimes you need a season in the comfy chair because you've had a hard week or a hard day. But the problem is that at times we get addicted to living in the comfy chair. And what God has given us to get away from stress, we have become addicted to. And when you live in the comfort zone, it actually causes all sorts of issues in your life. One psychologist named Phil Stutz has gone on to talk about how when you live in your comfort zone, it provides all sorts of issues, because in your comfort zone, you have this sense for some type of excitement, and you are so lulled in the comfort zone that your body naturally reaches out for something that's going to excite you, something that's going to cause something to help you wake up. And so you go to the comfort zone to escape stress and anxiety, but yet still inside of you, there's something looking for a better story. And so Phil Stutz says this: merely escaping pain isn't enough for us. We insist that the pain be replaced with pleasure. We do this with an endless array of addictive activities. Examples include internet surfing, drugs and alcohol, pornography, and aptly named comfort food. Even gambling and shopping are pleasures of a sort. All these behaviors are widespread. Our entire culture is looking for a comfort zone. I don't know if you caught the significance of what he said, but literally when you go to escape anxiety and pain, when you go to the comfy chair of life, there's also something inside of you that says, I can't just escape pain. I also need to go to something exciting. And this is why we go to things that end up harming us. There's something on this list that every single one of us can say, yep, I can see that in my life. He said that when you're in the comfort zone, that it leads to addictive behaviors, things like internet surfing. Have you ever wondered, like, why am I not present with my family? Why am I so addicted to Facebook when I'm around my friends and family? Why can't I get off online when I'm hanging out with the people that I'm supposed to love? It's because of the comfort zone. He said drugs and alcohol, pornography, or comfort food, even gambling and shopping are a pleasure of sort. That literally, that all of us are designed to escape anxiety and get to the comfy chair and to hang out. But when you're in the comfy chair, it comes with some complications, because then we go to behaviors that cause us to say, oh, that's not good, that's not bad, but it's just so, so comfortable. And we need some type of excitement, so we're literally drawn to things. We're literally drawn to things that harm us. I think that God has given us the comfy chair to give us some opportunities to rest, but I don't think he's called us to live here. And if God were to come and literally appear on this stage right now and say, hey, Rob, are you ready for battle? Are you ready to go out? Are you ready to go on an adventure? If I'm living in this comfy chair, no one would say, yep, Rob looks like he's ready to get in the game. Like, I look like I'm ready to take a nap. And as great as this feels, as relaxing as this is, this isn't where God has called you to live. That God's actually called you to get out of your comfort zone and to be stretched and to walk into places that don't feel comfortable to actually grow. In fact, I want to give you the main idea up front. If you're taking notes, you can literally write this down. Oh, the comfy chair is hard to get out of. Oh. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. This is the main idea. If you stay in your comfort zone, you will never leave your current view of life. If you stay in your comfort zone, you will never leave your current view of life. As great as the comfort zone is, as great as the comfy chair is, if you stay there, if you live there, you will never leave your current view of life. So if there's an area of your life where you say, I don't really like that, but I go there to escape the stress and pressure of life, I don't like that I do that, but I go there to escape, if there's any area of your life that you do that, the reason is because of the comfy chair. It's because of your comfort zone. We read in our text, it was from Acts, and I want to break this down for you. I want to give you a little bit of background of what we read. Acts is the story of the early church, and I believe, this might be a little bold for you, but I believe if you are a Christian and you've never read the book of Acts, you're missing out. I think every Christian should read the book of Acts, not just once, but I think you should read it yearly. The book of Acts is an incredible, incredible history of how the church got started. And so many Christians don't even understand the beginnings of our faith, and it's all spelled out to us in the book of Acts, and it is incredible. You learn so much stuff about who we're called to be and what we're called to do, and it's literally all spelled out in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, it gives us what Jesus did after he rose from the grave. So we're pretty familiar. Even if you didn't grow up in church, you know that Jesus died. 3 days later, he rose again. Well, after that, he spent 40 days with his disciples. And at the end of his 40 days, he called them to a mountainside, and he gave them one last sermon. It was one last charge. It was one last challenge. It was one last go get them, tiger. And these are the words. We have them written down. These are the specific words that he told them. This is the thing that if you were going to make a Christian bumper sticker, this is what you should put on your Christian bumper sticker. If you're going to get a tattoo, tattoo this. This is the last words of Jesus to his followers. This is incredibly important stuff. In Acts 1, 8 through 9, Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. So literally, the very last words of Jesus were these words that he gave to his followers. The last words. And then he was like, "Peace, I'm out of here." And he went away in a cloud. These are the very last words. This is incredible stuff. And Jesus says something that I think we need to focus on. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Now, depending on if you grew up in church or not and what denomination of church you grew up in, you may not know much about the Holy Spirit. And I like to say that the Holy Spirit in the church world is often the redheaded stepchild of the Trinity of God. Like, in the church, we talk a lot about God the Father because the Old Testament part, before we're introduced to Jesus, is mainly about God the Father. And so we hear about God, we read about God, a lot of our sermons are about God, we feel more comfortable talking about God. But then they introduce Jesus, and Jesus is an incredibly big deal. He's so big, we have two holidays centered around Jesus, Christmas and Easter. Some of your family only come to church around those 2 days. That's how big Jesus is. But then Jesus leaves and he says, "I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit." And we don't have a lot of like stories and texts and things to really wrap around. Like, what is the Holy Spirit? Like, he's a spirit. So it's just kind of hard to wrap our minds around. And so we don't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. There's kind of some mystery to the Holy Spirit. But this verse, this literal verse that Jesus gave us, that the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to come with power. This is like a shocking, this is like an amazing verse. This is a verse, if you underline in your Bible, it should be underlined. Like, you guys all are looking at me like you're sitting in your comfy chair. You're looking at me like this is like boring, not exciting stuff. But this is like amazing, life-changing stuff. Let me tell you why. The Holy Spirit has always been around. This wasn't the first time that the Holy Spirit came on the scene. In fact, if you were to read the Bible and start in Genesis, in the very first book of the Bible, we're introduced to the Holy Spirit. And it says that before the earth was created, that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. So the Holy Spirit's been around since the very beginning. We've had the Father, we've had the Son, and we've had the Holy Spirit. But in the Old Testament, before we're introduced to Jesus, the Holy Spirit was only put and only given to people who had a special mission. And specifically, it was given typically to just one person at a time. So in the Old Testament, if you were to receive the Holy Spirit, you were like extra special. You got something different from God. You were set apart from everyone else. Now, when I read through the Old Testament, oftentimes I get a little bit jealous or envious of them. Because I read about these amazing miracles. And I think like, man, I wish I could experience some of those things. Like, I believe in God, but like sometimes it would just be nice to see a miracle that I can't explain away. Like, I would love to see, like, Moses saw waters like literally part and they walked on dry ground, and then after them the waters crashed down on the Egyptian army, and like there's no way to doubt that that's a God thing. Like, that's a miracle. Daniel was a guy that got thrown into a lion's den because he wouldn't stop praying. And he was thrown in the lion's den to die, and yet he didn't die. It literally says that the lion's mouths were held shut. That's a miracle. I don't want to be thrown in a lion's den, but I want to experience a miracle like that. Like, that would be cool. Like, that would be something like, you know what? Like, when Facebook shares your memories, it would be cool to see that memory. Oh, yeah, That's an amazing memory. God did that. I can't explain that away. That's an amazing miracle. And oftentimes when I read the Old Testament, I read about these miracles and I get envious and I say, just once in my life, I would like to see God move in such a way that I can't explain it away. I would love to see a miracle that's like that big. But if Moses was here today, if Daniel was here today, if David, if any of the Old Testament characters that we read about, if they were here today and they heard me read that verse, they would be jealous and envious of us. Because the Holy Spirit was something that only went on certain people for certain times for certain events. And Jesus comes on the scene and he says, guys, listen, I know you want me here. I know you want me to stick around, but I'm leaving, but I'm about to unleash the Holy Spirit. And anyone that follows me gets the Holy Spirit of God. Like literally heaven was like, oh, snap. Did that just happen? Like, this is like a moment in history. This is like incredible. And so if you follow Jesus, you now get to have something and experience something that literally Moses looks at you and says, man, I experienced some great things, but I wish I had what you had. You get to experience something that is on a regular basis. You get to experience the Holy Spirit of God. And you can tell if you have the Holy Spirit of God in your life, because the Holy Spirit of God is just a wee bit annoying. No offense. You can say anything you want as long as you say no offense after it. It's true, though. The Holy Spirit of God is a little bit annoying. You can tell that you have God in your life and that the Holy Spirit's in your life because whenever you start to get comfortable and whenever you just kind of feel like I'm cruising, I'm rolling, I really just love where life is, I wouldn't change anything about where my situation is. The Holy Spirit of God starts nudging you and saying, hey, you should do this. And because you're comfortable, the response every time the Holy Spirit starts to speak up is, I don't know. Really? Like the Holy Spirit doesn't say things that are bad for us. Like we know these things are good. We know we should do them. But because we're comfortable, we're like, oh, man. Like you're feeling really comfortable and like you've been saving up for like a great vacation and to do something great with your money. And then you feel like the Holy Spirit start to say, you know what, you should use that money to sponsor a child in Africa. Oh, come on, God, really? I don't know. Or like your kids are kind of growing up and they're at the age where they can start to like be self-sufficient and they're not so annoying anymore. And you're like, man, this is like the comfort zone of parenting. Like, this is the great place. Like, it's between, like, toddler age and teenage years. It's, like, the beautiful age of parenting. And you're like, this is just great. This is really comfortable. And then God starts to whisper to you and says, hey, you know what? You should adopt. What? And you're sitting there and you're driving down the road and it's like you're feeling comfortable with yourself and you're having a great day and you're just thinking about how great your day is. And then you hear that little whisper in your mind that says, you know what? You should go visit that hurting person. And you're like, I don't know. That doesn't sound very comfortable. I don't know if I want to help the homeless today. I don't know if I want to go meet that need. I don't know because it's just so comfy. I'm finally at a place where I'm comfortable. But the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit's a part of your life, he is constantly active, he is moving, and he's constantly leading you to places. And sometimes the Holy Spirit leads you to a place of rest where you literally say, okay, I've been going for a while, I need to sit down, I need to chill. But after a little bit of rest, you can tell you're walking with God because he starts to whisper and say, okay, rest time's over, nap time's over, it's time to get moving, let's go. I love that for centuries when it's been described, what is the definition, what's the way to talk about what it means to have a relationship with God? The term that Christians have used for centuries is to walk with God. And I love that phrase because to walk with God is this idea of having movement. That it's not to sit with God. It's not to hang out in the comfy chair and never do anything. That literally, if you follow after God, it's movement. That it's including walking. It's taking steps. It's on a journey. It's going to places where you never thought you would go before. And if the Holy Spirit of God is living inside of you, he constantly is pushing you and leading you to places that you never thought you would go on your own. And Jesus says that if you go to Jerusalem, wait, because the Holy Spirit of God is going to come on you and you're going to receive power. And that's what they do. The disciples go to Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit comes on them. And it's an amazing miracle. You can read about it in Acts. 3,000 people get saved in one day. It's awesome. And they get baptized, which we just experienced. Can you imagine 3,000 people getting saved and baptized on the same day? I can. That's incredible. I never understand why people go to churches and they're like, you know what? I don't really want to be a part of a crowded church. I don't really want to be a part of a church that's reaching people where God's doing stuff. That makes absolutely no sense to me. When I read Acts, I'm like, I want to be a part of that. 3,000 people in one day? That sounds incredible. Because the 3,000 people got saved, and it wasn't because of a program. It wasn't because they said, hey guys, we're giving away a car. It was because the Holy Spirit of God moved. I want to be a part of that. I want to be part of a movement where God is moving, and people are responding, and lives are being changed. And in one day, in one day, 3,000 people get saved. We turn the page, and God continues to move in Jerusalem. And 5,000 people get saved. So now this little movement of Christianity is becoming a massive movement. And people are becoming Christians and they're following Jesus left and right. But we need to look at what Jesus said. Because he said, go to Jerusalem. But then look at what he said. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus said, when this Holy Spirit comes on you in Jerusalem, because the Holy Spirit is a spirit of movement, I don't want you to stay in Jerusalem. You got to be on the move. I think it's fascinating what Sir Isaac Newton found out. In his first law of motion, it states, an object of rest stays in rest, and an object in motion stays in motion. Have you ever had a day off where you just said, I'm just going to relax all day long in the comfy chair? And in your mind, you think, after I spend a day in the comfy chair, it's going to give me energy to do the things that I need to do. But it never works out that way. Like, when I have a day off and I spend all day in the comfy chair, I think by the time my kids get home, I'm going to have so much energy. I'm just going to play with them. It's going to be amazing. But if I spend all day in the comfy chair, by the time my kids get home, I'm exhausted. It's so tiring doing nothing. Why? Because Sir Isaac Newton had a point that when you do nothing, it literally leads to more nothing, that there's no movement. But when there is movement, it leads to more movement. An object at rest stays in rest, but an object in motion stays in motion. Maybe God's on to something with that. That Jesus told them, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and you're going to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, but I don't want you to stay in Jerusalem. I want you to go someplace. You got to move. But they decide just to hang out and chill. The comfort zone, it leads us to a place where we feel safety because we feel like we're in control, but it leads us to kind of go in autopilot. I want to ask you a question. Did you ever do something you were really proud of when you were in autopilot mode? Like, did you ever do something in your life where you were like, you know what, I just killed it in autopilot. Like, I deserve a certificate today because I just cruised. Like, we're never proud of when we just are bored with life and we're just kind of just doing things and checking things off lists. We're never excited about that. And yet, our mindset says, I want to get to that place all the time. I got to get to the comfy chair. I got to get to autopilot. But autopilot is literally the place that is killing us because it's causing us not to be in motion. And Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, move. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let's keep reading our text. Let's see what happens next in Acts 8:1. It says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Look at your neighbor and say, Judea. Look at your neighbor and say, Samaria. Okay, now, I don't know if you noticed this in the text, but it says, on that day, a great persecution broke out. So they're hanging out in Jerusalem, that there's 12 guys, they're followers of Jesus. They're the ones that heard this message of Jesus, that he said, go to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and then, once the Holy Spirit comes on you, you are to go to Judea and to Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit moves, and they stay in Jerusalem. At some point, they miss the second part of the memo. And so a persecution comes, and it says, on that day of the persecution, the entire church, all of the Christians, leave and move out. And where did they go? Judea and Samaria. But who didn't move? The apostles. Okay, the only people who were literally sitting there when Jesus gave the message to go are the ones that said, nope, not going to do it. Now, we don't know why. We don't understand exactly why. The text doesn't tell us why they didn't move on. Maybe they had a great reason. And maybe we'll find this out one day when we get in heaven. We're just left to speculate. And so maybe speculation is completely wrong. But I think there is something to the speculation. If you do a little research and ask a few questions about the places where Jesus told them to go, you can quickly understand why the disciples didn't want to go there. Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem, which was cool. That's where they'd been living out. That's where they'd been hanging out with Jesus. And it wasn't perfect. It had some issues. But that was kind of home for a little bit. So they were okay with Jerusalem. But then he said, go to Judea. Now, Judea is close to Jerusalem, but Judea is a place where they spoke the exact same language as the disciples, and they worshiped God in the same way. They were considered Jews in the same way the disciples were. But in Judea, they had a low view of people from an area called Galilee. And people in Judea would look down on Galileans, specifically because if you were from Galilee, you spoke the same language, but you had a little bit different accent. You said some words differently. It would be kind of like this. If you live in America, you speak American. But if you go to different parts of America, you speak American differently. You know, like you can tell when someone's from the north and you're like, okay, that's American, but I don't really understand everything that you're saying. Or you go like deep south and you're like, come again? Like what? I don't, you're mixing two words together to make one. It doesn't completely make sense. What did you, I think that's English. I think you're speaking American. And the Galileans spoke a little bit different dialect than the Judeans. So literally, the butt of Judean jokes were people from Galilee. So like in our culture, we make redneck jokes. They would make Galilee jokes. You might be a Galilean if. If you read the New Testament, what you find out is that Jesus handpicked his disciples, and they were from a town called Galilee. So it makes sense then why when Jesus says, I want you to go to Judea, they're like, yeah, I'd rather not. Because I don't know about you, but if I know people are going to make fun of me, I don't want to go there. So then he says, go from Judea, then go to Samaria. Well, what's Samaria? Well, Samaria was a place that Jews said was forbidden. Specifically, it was a place where they thought was unclean. Samaritans were half Jews. And so there was some racial divide. There was some things going on that was literally some prejudice going on in their culture. That the Samaritans were plucked from their culture and put into different cultures, specifically from like the Roman Empire or the Greek Empire. And because they were plucked and put into a new culture, they were forced to marry non-Jews. And this was forbidden in the Jewish law. So you had Jewish women marrying these pagan men, and now they are called Samaritans. And this was such a disgrace to the Jews that they wanted nothing to do with Samaritans. In fact, you can read about it in the gospel. There's a time where Jesus is walking with his disciples, and the fastest way is to go through Samaria, and he's walking with them, and the disciples are like, yeah, I'd rather not. And they want to go the long way, and Jesus cuts through this place called Samaria, and he meets this woman at a well, and he sits with her, and he has a conversation with her. This would be scandalous, because Jewish men don't talk to women from Samaria. But Jesus has a conversation with her. And so Jesus says, listen, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, I want you to go to that place that you don't want to have anything to do with, that place that you look down on, that's where you want to go. So what does Jesus tell them to do? I want you to go to Jerusalem, receive the Holy Spirit, and then I want you to go to a place where they don't like you. And after that, I want you to go to a place where you don't like them. The Holy Spirit of God, when he comes upon your life, he constantly is moving you to go to places that stretch you and get you out of your comfort zone. But the disciples decide to just hang put. They decide not to move. So here's something for us to wrestle with. How do you know if you've settled in your comfort zone? Because the disciples, maybe they didn't know. Maybe they didn't know why they were hanging out in Jerusalem. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you're sitting here and saying, yeah, I don't know if I'm in my comfort zone or not. Well, here's some things to look at. Number one, look at what you're avoiding. What are you avoiding in your life? Whatever you're avoiding, it's your body's natural response to avoid what you should do. There is something inside your brain that says, I know I should do that, but that sounds hard, that sounds difficult, that might bring a little bit of stress, and I know I should go there, but I'm just so comfortable. I don't want to leave what's comfortable. And so what are you avoiding? Look at what you're avoiding. I'm convinced that the disciples in their minds were like, Jesus said to go to Judea, but they're going to make fun of us, so I'd rather just hang out here. So what are you avoiding? You know when the best day to start a diet is? It's always, in my mind, it's always Monday. Like, you say this on like Tuesday, like on Monday, I'm going to start a diet. And then you go through the whole week and you like, you know, you kind of prep up because you got to stock up and eat whatever you want when you're getting ready to go on a diet. And then Monday comes and Monday morning, you're like, man, this is kind of difficult. I'm going to start a diet next Monday. What are you avoiding? What is it in your life? What relationships, what hard conversations, what moves, what decisions? What is it that you didn't just think of once but kind of keeps creeping back in your mind? Is that the Holy Spirit of God giving you a nudge and saying, hey, listen, I'm calling you to move out of your comfort zone? Number two, listen to your excuses. Listen to your excuses. We make excuses in order to stay in our comfort zone. And we say things like, well, if I go to Judea, they're going to make fun of me. Or if I go to Samaria, then I'm going to have to talk to people that, God, you told me not to talk to them. They're not pure. We make excuses. What are the excuses that you're holding on to? Number three, pay attention to your negativity. Pay attention to your negativity. How do you know if you settle in your comfort zone? People who are addicted to negativity are addicted to comfort. How do we know this? Well, statistics and psychology tells us that when you are comfortable, literally your body kind of just starts to shut down and you need some form of excitement. And so some people say, well, I'm just more pessimistic. That's just how I view life. And I would say, no, it's just you're more addicted to comfort in your life. Because being a positive or a negative person is a choice that we can make. And the reason that some of us are more prone to negativity is because we are in the comfort zone. And when you're in the comfort zone of your life, you're bored. And when you're bored, your brain is literally looking for something exciting to attach onto. And what's more exciting, positive things or negative things? Negative things. That's why the news is focusing on negative things all the time. We don't love to just watch positive things. Negative things excite us. And so if you are constantly talking about negative things, whether it's talking about other people, focusing on what other people aren't doing, if you just kind of feel yourself constantly stirring up this negativity, it is screaming at you that there's some boredom in your life and you're hanging out in the comfort zone and that God wants to get you out. Because when you're living an amazing story for God, you don't have time to complain about other people. Acts 8:4 goes on to say, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. So those that had been scattered were not the disciples of Jesus. It was everyone else. They were scattered. And where did they go? They went to Judea and Samaria. And what did they do when they got there? They preached the word wherever they went. What did Jesus tell them to do? He said, I want you to preach the word in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now here's the part of this that we might miss if we don't slow down just for a second. In the first 7 chapters of the book of Acts, the main character is the Holy Spirit of God. But the second main character is a guy by the name of Peter. And God is doing incredible works in Peter, and God's doing amazing miracles in Peter's life. And God is using Peter to do incredible things. But Jesus specifically told Peter, after the Holy Spirit comes, you got to get on the move and go. And for 7 chapters, Peter doesn't move. And here's the takeaway from that. God is going to use someone to do what God wants to do. But God will never force you to do what you don't want to do. And so if you want to hang out in your comfort zone, God will allow you to hang out in your comfort zone. The issue is that you miss out on experiencing the amazing story of God. And something happens at this moment in Acts. Peter goes from being the second main character in the whole book of Acts to being hardly mentioned throughout the rest of the book. Because he didn't go, because he didn't leave the comforts of Jerusalem, God raises up a guy by the name of Paul. And Paul is the one that goes to the ends of the earth and he starts telling people about Jesus and he becomes a missionary and he goes to places that are uncomfortable and he goes to places where he's not welcome and he goes to places who have never heard about Jesus and he preaches about Jesus. And today, you know who we spend more time talking about? Paul. You know, at Next Level, we don't say Peter is a PTP or a primetime player. We say Paul is a primetime player. Why? Paul wrote over half of the New Testament. The reason Christianity spread around the world is because God used Paul. But I'm convinced it could have been Peter if he would have left his comfort zone. And I'm just telling you, God wants to use you, but if you're not willing to move, he'll use someone else. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be sitting in my comfy chair watching someone else experience an amazing move of God. I would rather get out and feel a little bit of discomfort and experience a move of God than enjoy the comforts of a chair. I would rather feel a little bit of discomfort in my relationships and go to some scary places, but get to the place of health and have amazing relationships than just to accept the bad parts. I would rather get to a place with my finances where I can say, hey, this is going to stretch me, but I'm going to follow God's plan with my finances, than to just keep living paycheck to paycheck. I would rather get to a place in our church where we can say we're doing amazing things for God. It is stretching us because we're refusing to be comfortable. So Jesus tells them to leave. They decide to stay. And I'm convinced that Peter misses out on a great movement of God. And the challenge for us is if you stay in your comfort zone, you will never leave your current view of life. So there's something in your life that you want to change. There's something in your life that you're saying, hey, this is an issue. And I'm convinced whatever those issues are, that's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you and saying, hey, I'm trying to lead you. I'm trying to love you through this. I want you to work on this. I'm trying to encourage you and coach you through this. I think you can do it. But your excuses, your reasons, your comfort is preventing you to. So what do you do? How do you leave the comfort zone? Literally, like, how do we get out of this? Because we're so afraid to leave what's comfortable. I'll tell you how to do it. You have to walk towards something that you fear. Literally, the way that you get out of your comfort zone is you have to walk towards something that you fear. And it sounds crazy because in your mind you're like, oh no, anything that I fear, anything that brings up anxiety, anything that brings up anything scary or uncomfortable, I don't like that. And that's why I have a comfy chair so I can just escape everything scary. But literally, life change happens when your brain kicks in some adrenaline, when there's a little bit of, oh, I don't know how that's going to happen. And the reason I think that God wants us to take these steps of faith is because when you're living in the comfy chair, you don't need God. No one sitting in the comfy chair says, God, if you don't show up, I just can't sit here and eat my Cheetos. Please, God, move. Give me the power to finish this bag of Cheetos. No one says that. But when you get out of the comfy chair and you start walking, it gets scary and you start walking and you say, God, if you don't do something, I'm going to fail. And it's when you're out of the comfy chair that you are forced to rely on the power of God. I want to show you a chart and then we're going to wrap up with the application. This is from a leading psychologist and this is where we need to be aiming towards living. The psychologist says that there's a comfort zone and 70% of people live here. In the tiny box on the comfort zone, it says, nothing is happening here. Okay, let me just say this again, because none of you reacted. Comfort zone, 70% of people live here. Nothing is happening here. 70% of people live in the comfort zone, and nothing is happening there. Where should we get? To the learning zone. 20% of people live here, and this is where the magic happens. But in order to move from your comfort zone to the learning zone, you got to go the second mile. Because the first mile is comfortable. The second mile is where you get stretched. And when you just say, I don't think I can do it. I don't know if I have it in me. And the Holy Spirit of God is saying, you don't. That's what I'm here for. You can't do it, but I can. Let's go. Let's keep going. Let's walk. Because when you get stretched, you're going to rely on me. And I'm going to lead you to do things that you never thought were possible on your own. It goes up to the top, though. The top portion says the danger zone. 10% of people live there, and this is where premature death happens. Stay away from that zone. This is where people jump out of airplanes without a parachute. These are crazy people. This is where you get addicted to the adrenaline. Like, you want to stay away from that. God's not calling you to that zone. But I do think that God is calling you to the learning zone. And the learning zone doesn't happen in the comfy chair. The learning zone happens when you literally take a step of faith. And so here is the application for today. I want you to write this down because I want you to literally to work on this and to be thinking about it. This is the application for you to work on this week. Embrace challenge by taking a step of faith towards what scares you. Embrace challenge by taking a step of faith towards what scares you. Embrace challenge. There's a challenge in your life. I need to get there, but I'm scared. I need to get there. It's going to be hard. I need to get there, but I don't know what they're going to say. I need to get there, but it's just scary. Whatever the challenge is, take a step towards it. And here's literally how you stretch your faith. You don't start with taking a big step. You take a little step that's less scary. Because the big step, it's just too impossible for us because our brains are wired to hang out in the comfort zone. And as long as you focus on that big step, you're never going to get there. You're just going to constantly hang out here. And when you're hanging out here and thinking about that big step, you're going to go to more addictive behaviors to try to fix this and say, I just got to retreat and I just got to get here. And, I just got to feel better about myself because I'm now worried about this big step. You don't worry about it. You just take little steps of faith. And you take a little, okay, what scares me? Take a little step of faith. So maybe you're not ready for the mission field. What's a little step of faith that kind of scares you? Maybe you're not ready to take on a big challenge of God. What's a little step of faith? And if you daily take little steps of faith of God, the big steps of faith become a lot less scarier. So embrace challenge by taking a step of faith towards what scares you. Get out of the comfort zone. Live in the learning zone because that's where the magic happens. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word to us. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you what you're doing in our church. And God, we just ask that you would, we ask God that you would just use this message, that it's not just words from me, it's the word that you gave us from your Bible. It's the words that you gave us from the scripture, and it's the words that you gave us literally to your disciples to get on the move and to go. And so we're just asking God in Jesus' name, that you would stir your Holy Spirit with inside of us. That we'd take some steps that scare us. That right now, God, specifically, you'd be leading us to take some steps. That we'd be walking out of our comfort zone. God, for some of us, maybe it's to go see a counselor this week, which is really scary for some of us. For some of us, maybe it's to strike up a new friendship. For some of us, maybe it's to find out some more information about how to get plugged into a church. God, whatever is scaring us, God, help us to know that you're bigger than the fear that resides in our hearts. And would you help us to not be afraid, but to walk towards you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.